You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Thanksgiving night, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. They'll battle Ben Roethlisberger, the undefeated Steelers, the AFC North matchup. Thanksgiving night, 8 Eastern only on NBC. Say good morning to those watching on Peacock. You can watch 3 hours of this program. Well, if you can, but it's free. Download the app. Also, our great radio affiliates around the country, Chat Row. And McLovin has a poll question from the first couple hours. Are we going to stay with that?
We can switch it up. The first couple hours, which team should panic after Sunday's loss? Mm. And the Ravens and Packers are 1 and 2 in that.
All right.
No one's panicked about the Dolphins. Probably because they're not as good a team as those teams.
Yeah, the stakes aren't as high for the Dolphins. If the Dolphins make the playoffs, it'll be a nice story. But the expectation level is not there this year. Or at least it shouldn't be. I think if they get to 8 or 9 wins, that's a nice season there. And they got a good coach and they got a good nucleus there in the future. Watching last night, it's one of those where, and there's very few of these players that you go, it's over. It's over before it's over. Russell Wilson, I always feel this way. When he has the ball, game on the line, he's going to somehow find a way to win. Aaron Rodgers, normally you go, no, oh, left too much time on the clock. We've seen this with Tom Brady down through the years. Left too much time on the clock. Raiders left too much time on the clock. And Patrick Mahomes made the Raiders pay. Here's Derek Carr, the Raiders quarterback, on that topic.
Anytime you got, you know, these professional quarterbacks, man, hopefully me included, whenever you give us time, you know, any kind of time with, you know, a little bit of a field, I mean, you feel excited to go win the game. You know, that's what we live for. It's what you dream of. And so that's natural. But also my trust was, no, our defense will stop them. You know, it's just in my team. That's where my trust is.
Well, I mean, you should have that trust in your defense. That's the right thing to say. By the way, I got to get Alan, my IT guy, to help with the Raiders microphone system there. Over-modulation there. Yes, McLovin.
It was fun. They gave a lot of camera time to Brent Musburger last night doing the radio call.
Yeah.
The Raiders have a lot of likable characters. They, like, you know, Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, Derek Carr, a lot of good, positive stories.
Yeah. They're a good team. And I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but they're a good team. And they went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. Beat them once and, you know, took them to the wire last night. A couple of things, though, that stood out yesterday. I mentioned the Ravens. They're just not a team that can come from behind. You look at Lamar Jackson, when they lead after the first quarter, he wins. They close you out. They were great front runners last year. But this year, it's just different. It's a different team. They've lost some offensive linemen, you know, losing Ronnie Stanley for the season. Yanda retires. They don't have any wide receivers. They have the fewest yards per game for their wide receivers of anybody in the NFL right now. And it felt like they were a run team. They used their tight ends last year, and they had good defense and special teams. But you got this game coming up with the Steelers Thanksgiving night, and that is a big, big game. Packers have blown leads of 7, 10, and 14 points in their 3 losses. In each of their 3 losses. Against the Buccaneers, they led 10-0. They lost 38-10. Against the Vikings, they were up 7-0, 14-7. That didn't last. Against the Colts, they were up 21-7, 28-14. Now, you might look at it and go, okay, this is the defense. Is it the offense? Because the Packers opened the second half a pair of 3-and-out drives, and the Colts would eventually tie things up at 28-28. And on Sunday, they blew a 14-point lead twice. That rarely happens with Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers is 95-2 against all teams other than the Colts when leading by 14 or more points. Against the Colts, Rodgers is 1-2 when leading by 14 or more points. Maybe just a curiosity there, but certainly felt like a stat of the day.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day.
Rams against the Buccaneers coming up tonight. And in case you're counting, the Rams have made 5 trips to the Eastern time zone in their last 9 games. I don't know what the record is, McLovin. Could we find that out of number of East Coast games, Eastern time zone games for teams from the West Coast? Because I got to believe that they're getting close to that right now. All right, a lot of basketball moves over the weekend. I thought the Lakers did really, really well. And I thought, let's bring in Chris Mannix to kind of summarize everything that happened, Sports Illustrated NBA senior writer. Busy weekend here, Mannix. The most surprising positive move of the weekend was what?
Positive, I'm not sure. I mean, I thought you said the Lakers did well. I agree with that. I think Marc Gasol is a very useful pickup for them at the end of all this. And, you know, the changes they made to the backcourt, Wesley Matthews, among others, are going to work out for that team. I really like what the Bucks did. You know, I know they wanted Bogdanović. That was their top choice in that sign and trade. But I thought they rebounded pretty well from that, you know, by, you know, getting a guy like Bryn Forbes and a handful of others to Bobby Portis to fortify that bench, bringing back Pat Connaughton, who I think is going to play a big role for that team. And look, they still have Jrue Holiday, who addressed a lot of issues for them there. So, look, it wasn't anything seismic, I think, that tipped the balance of power in a significant way. But, you know, the top teams, I thought, did well in sort of refortifying their positions.
Well, let me go back to the Lakers, because I don't know if they're done yet. I saw where Mark Stein said that the Lakers and Clippers trying to sign Markieff Morris. You know, this is, I don't know if it's, you know, these players are more apt to want to play with LeBron, the point guard LeBron, and be a part of a championship team. You know, I think Montrezl Harrell, you know, walking from one side of the Staples Center to the other side, I mean, that's pretty seismic move, it feels like, there, that you want to try to cash in and win a championship, it feels like. Do you get that feeling that these players all in on getting a chance to play with LeBron and planting a chance to win a title?
Well, I mean, yes and no. You know, with Markieff Morris, it's just a weird situation. Like, he and his brother are as inseparable as you possibly can be when you play for different teams, and he would really like to play alongside his brother if the Clippers can make that work. So that's one aspect of it. The market for Harrell wasn't great, and that surprised me a little bit,
okay,
because he's coming off the year he's coming off, but it wasn't an exceptionally robust market for Harrell, which is why I think it's a two-year deal, but it's really a one-year deal with the option, so he can punt to free agency in 2021 and see, you know, as there's going to be more teams with free agent cash available as teams load up for that summer, so maybe he can cash in that year. And look, with Harrell, like, he's a really good player, don't get me wrong, but I'm not exactly sure about the fit with Anthony Davis, because we know Davis likes to play alongside, you know, traditional big men, right? Like, he doesn't want to be a five, except in spurts at the end of games and in the playoffs. He wants to save his body against that wear and tear. I mean, Harrell can play five, but he's not your traditional type of five. That's why I think the Gasol signing was badly needed in the aftermath of losing Dwight Howard. I mean, Gasol, not what he used to be, but I think he'll be an incredible weapon, top of the key, passing the ball, shooting threes, and just basketball IQ. I think he's going to be a real threat for that team. So, Harrell's a good player, but Harrell plus Gasol made me think the Lakers had a good day.
Did the Hornets have a good weekend?
I don't know what the Hornets are doing or what their thought process is. Like, Gordon Hayward won the offseason, and Mark Bartlestein, his agent, they won the offseason. I couldn't have imagined, after opting out of a $34.5 million contract for next season in Boston, that there would be $120 million on the table for him. There were teams interested. I mean, Tom Thibodeau really pushed Gordon Hayward to New York. Indiana tried to construct a sign and trade. But the idea that the Hornets would be there with $120 million is mind-blowing. This is the same Hornets team that kind of shrugged its shoulders at Kemba Walker, at least didn't go all out to try to re-sign Kemba Walker just a year ago. This is a Hornets team that tied itself to Nick Batum a few years back in what was an awful contract that they are now stretching so they can sign Gordon Hayward. So Gordon Hayward, Dan's going to make $30 million a year himself, but because of the Nick Batum stretch, if that's how it plays out, which I think it will, Gordon's going to be costing like $39 million a year. Mm. That is truly bonkers for a team that isn't going anywhere. Like, what are they going to do? Go from, like, with Gordon Hayward, go from 12th in the Eastern Conference to 10th? Like, I don't understand Michael Jordan, Mitch Kupchak, the thinking there. They got LaMelo Ball. He brings some star power. You want to build around him. Gordon's 30. Like, are you just bringing him in to give LaMelo someone to pass to for a couple of years as you miss the playoffs? I just, I thought Nick Batum's contract as an expiring would have been much more valuable in some kind of trade scenario where teams are trying to cut costs for next summer if Giannis is available than just waiving him and making Gordon effectively a $40 million per year player.
Does everybody have to get a max? You know, like Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum, like it's $5,195 and that's it. Like there's no other option where you go, hey, maybe we'd like to give you $5,175. Why is it? It feels like this is like NFL quarterback contracts where next guy up, or everybody's getting the max amount at quarterbacking position and then these NFL max deals.
Yeah, I mean, not on rookie contracts. Like, if a player is at an all-star level, they become a max guy. And part of that is the comps that are out there, right? Like, the second free agency opened, Sacramento gave De'Aaron Fox the max. So if you're Donovan Mitchell, you're not considering not the max anyway, and Utah wasn't considering it either. But the fact that De'Aaron Fox is a max guy, you are a max guy. If you're Jason Tatum, if those guys are max guys, you're a max guy. They just like you can't, because these have been handed out, and I agree, they get handed out almost reflexively at this point. Because they're handed out so frequently, there's almost no choice for teams to do. I mean, players, you know, if I was a team, maybe I'd play a little bit of hardball, because no player in the history of these contracts has ever turned one down. Because if they take, let's say, the qualifying offer, that's not money they can ever get back, right? Like, if you're a player that signs a shorter-term deal, you can always recoup money on the back end. But if you sign a qualifying offer, that means for, like, a Jason Tatum, I'm just making this number up, but it's like $10 million in that first year. You can't make up that money, so you want the $20 million in that first year of the extension. So they're always going to take it, at least be inclined to take it. Maybe teams should play some hardball, but I have no belief, Dan, that's ever going to happen.
Any updates on James Harden?
No, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. I expect James Harden to be in training camp with the Rockets, which, you know, isn't saying much since that opens like tomorrow or, you know, right around the corner. My sense from talking to people in Houston and talking to people that have inquired is that this is going to be a protracted process. And I think I said this to you last time I was on, and it remains true. The Westbrook domino kind of has to fall first. You know, they have to find a home for Westbrook. I don't know where that is. The Washington deal kind of raised an eyebrow, because I'm not sure what you do with John Wall either in that situation. Seems like, you know, exchanging one distressed asset for another. But I don't expect a Harden deal to happen until Westbrook, there's an outcome there. And look, you do want to get teams into a bidding war. So maybe that takes until midseason to get these teams to realize, you know, let's say Giannis signs the extension next week. Like, you don't want to, you know, make a deal for Harden when other teams who are preparing for Giannis might be available. A team like Miami or somebody else that might throw a real offer at you. So I don't expect anything to happen anytime soon with James Harden.
Wait, I thought Harden wanted to play with Westbrook. Like, when did – like, he's okay now not playing with Westbrook, right?
Well, he's going to go down the list of ex-teammates, right? It's Westbrook, and now it's Durant, and
– Chris Paul.
Just Chris Paul reuniting with the Clippers. I don't think there's any friction with Russ and James. I just think, look, they're – like many people, if not most, thought, they were a tough match. Like, you know, you put two guys together – that are used to being alphas, that have two of the highest usage rates in NBA history, and it's not easy to come together. Now, to Russ's credit, I think Russ changed, you know, during the year. I think he evolved as a player to make things more accommodating to playing with James, but it just didn't feel like a long-term fit when they acquired him, and it still doesn't feel like a long-term fit now.
Good to talk to you as always, Chris. Thank you, buddy.
Ricky Rubio, on the move again, Dan.
Yeah.
Back to Minnesota. I already have my Minnesota Rubio jersey, so I don't need a new one now. I'm good.
Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, NBA senior writer. You know, most of us grow up and you have posters on your wall, you know, of like legends. Mannix is a grown man. He's got a poster of Ricky Rubio on his bedroom wall. That's it. Nothing else needed. Yeah, Paulie.
Ricky Rubio's, he's going to be 30. Actually, he just turned 30 and hasn't made an all-star team yet.
I don't think he's going to.
Does Mannix get the L on Ricky Rubio? Or is it TBD?
I'm going to do a TBD with him.
You're being nice.
Yes, I am being nice to Mannix, because he is kind enough to join us on short notice sometimes.
Rubio's career, he's averages about 12 points and 8 assists a game. He's got a nice career going.
It's a nice career. Nice career. Yeah, McLevin.
Ricky Rubio is only 30? I thought he's been around, feels older.
How many teams has he been on? Six?
Four as of today.
But going back to Minnesota counts as another team, though.
Yeah, for his heyday back in Minnesota.
Yeah. All right, a couple of phone calls in here. Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff. Welcome back.
What goes on, Dan? Oh, what I've done one time for chat, row, I actually enjoy watching the Lions get shut out yesterday. I did, and I'm in a weird space. I told you Friday, 13-28-1, 1-8 against rookie coaches, 2-8 against rookie QBs. I mean, everybody was off too. Everybody lost in the NFC North. Everybody, Chicago was on a bye. You have to win certain games. That's it. And you get beat by an XFL quarterback making his start. If you ever want your quarterback to look good and your coach to look good, play the Detroit Lions. Guaranteed win.
Thank you, Jeff. I think Jeff's just come to terms that, you know what? He's a loser.
Not him.
Well, his teams are losers. Yeah. I mean, we love Jeff. But Jeff, you know, he's gotten to that point where there's no sense fighting it. You just go, I'm just going to let it, you know, it's okay. I'm just going to let it wash over me. Ro in Tennessee joining us. Hey, Ro, what's on your mind today?
Hey, first time, long time. So glad to, you know, finally get the phone call in. I remember listening to you on the ride home from school when I was a kid, so this is really exciting. I got one best of the week and two worst of the week. The best of the week, I played my girlfriend in fantasy football, and we were both at the top of our divisions, and it was neck and neck this week, but I ended up winning. And she's a Vikings fan. I'm a Cowboys fan, so that's on two fronts I won this week. Worst of the week, I won on both fronts, so it wasn't really calm and relaxing. very busy Saturday. And the other worst of the week is we're Tennessee Vols fans, and, I don't know if our coach is sticking to our quarterback for whatever reason, but it's got to be enough at this point. You can't be in your, fourth, fifth year and still be this bad. I know the stats weren't that bad, but just watching it is just, it hurts. It really hurts.
Yeah, I watched some of that. Thank you, Ro. Yeah, Paul.
We're questioning Rohit for having his girlfriend in his fantasy football league. That's kind of an escapism. I'm surprised he would want to go church and state there.
But did he meet her in the fantasy league? And then maybe they fell in love. I don't know. Were you a couple and then you decided to get into a fantasy league? Then that might be a little bit different there. Yeah.
Is it like a couple's fantasy league?
Could be. Yeah, McClubb.
But you're stealing secrets in pillow talk. Like, coming in the season, I really like Russell Wilson. Then she jumps in and takes a break.
Or if you talk in your sleep.
Oh, it'd be the worst.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the fantasy thing this weekend that Taysom Hill was listed as a tight end?
Yeah, how is that? How can he be a tight end?
From the beginning of the season.
But he was designated as the starting quarterback.
I don't know what the mechanics are, but people were dominating fantasy with Taysom Hill at a tight end.
But has he been listed as a tight end? Has he played tight end?
No. Well, that's a funny thing. No. But I guess, where would you list him at?
Wide receiver? Running back? But this week, quarterback. Yeah, Paul.
In 2019, he was officially listed as a wide receiver on the roster.
Yeah.
This year, he's been officially listed as a quarterback on the roster for the Saints.
Gus in Los Angeles. And we'll take a break. Hey, Gus.
Good morning, Mr. DP. Thank you for taking my phone call. Best of the weekend, no worse. Best of the weekend was this NBA free agency. Started off a little slow, and then it started off a little agonizing. You know, it's like we're like, oh, my God, we lost Danny Green. Wait, Wes Matthews? All right, cool. Oh, my God, we lost Dwight Howard. Wait. Montrezl Harrell? Mark Gasol? Okay, cool. And then last little one, I saw, don't ask me why, but it was on. I saw Just Go With It for the first time. And I laughed. Unlike I have this entire year when you were doing the judging contest and you went up to the little old lady, you're like, oh, hey, can we get some, you know, some claps over here? And then you walked up to Big Mama and you called her Big Country. Oh, dude, that brought back memories of good old Brian Reeves with the Grizzlies. And I laughed my ass off. I don't think people knew how hard or why I was laughing so hard.
All right.
But thank you very much.
Thank you, Gus. Yeah, Sandler let me ad lib that because the woman who's up there dancing, she probably was 6'2", 6'3", And I just had the women were getting eliminated in the dance contest here. And I just went up to her. I said, come on, big country. And
it's a good line.
And Sandman just let me keep it in. There were a couple other lines that I had that didn't make it. But yeah, I just figured let's just throw it out there and see what Sandman allows me to let keep in there. Take a break. 22 after the hour. Aaron Rodgers, I think, joins us on Wednesday on the program. Kyle Trask, the Florida quarterback, is going to join us, I believe, Wednesday, Tom.
Kyle Trask tomorrow and Josh Duhamel, our buddy, tomorrow.
Oh, Josh Duhamel. The actor Josh Duhamel will join us. The Vikings.
Buddy Games. Got a new movie on.
Yeah, Josh Duhamel. He did the opening for the Fox pregame show. Very dramatic read. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, I did not know that there was the not the B team, but the other team for the Fox. Chris Myers, Charles Woodson.
Yeah, because the first team all in COVID protocol or whatever, and then they were joining them remotely.
Nice ascot by Charles Woodson.
Ascot?
Yeah, he wore it. It's a full-on ascot.
Well, wait, that was his signature move at the mothership.
Yeah,
I think he everybody's got to have what? Remember, Digger Phelps had a highlighter. And it would always match his tie. And I'd go, all right. Because he would say, hey, what do you think with the highlighter and the tie? And I'd go,
yeah. It's a nice detail.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Charles Woodson had an ascot. Yes, Paul.
Remember Danny Cannell had the season of the turtleneck that worked well for his brand.
No matter what time of the year it was.
Yeah, it was August.
Cannell had a turtleneck on. And I went, oh, wow. I would think your analysis would maybe be what stood out. Not, oh, you're the turtleneck guy. Yep, that's me. Oh, you're the highlighter guy. That's me. Hey, you're the ascot guy. Yep, that's me. I'm the SportsCenter guy. 22 after the hour, back after this. Masterclass offers exclusive classes on a wide variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their fields. I don't care what you're thinking about, what you've always wanted to try, but now you have your opportunity. Each class is broken down into individual video lessons. Now, it fits into your schedule. Usually about 20 lessons per class, 10 minutes per lesson, but you go at your own pace. You know, it's just like if you're going to be watching something, streaming something, you're going to binge on something. You can do the same thing. Computer, tablet, smart TV, your phone. You want to learn about comedy, Steve Martin can tell you about that. Cooking, Gordon Ramsay can tell you about that. Steph Curry will teach you shooting and ball handling. Serena Williams will teach you tennis. Over 90 classes from a range of world-class instructors. And it's something if you've ever wanted to do and you just didn't have the time, now you do. Check it out. And as a listener of this show, you can get an annual membership to Masterclass and then give one to somebody else for free. Unlimited access to every masterclass, you and a friend right now. Great deal. Go to masterclass.com/Patrick. That's masterclass.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Hard to believe, 6 years ago tonight, Odell Beckham Jr. III had the one-handed grab against the Dallas Cowboys. And I mentioned this to the Danettes. Was that something great for Odell Beckham or something bad for Odell Beckham? Or maybe not something positive for him? Because he became a household name overnight. Chris Collinsworth, doing the game on Football Night in America, said, that might be the greatest catch I've ever seen. It was a one-handed grab. It was unbelievable. But then after that, we kept waiting for those moments with Odell Beckham. And it goes back to Jadeveon Clowney with the hit he had in the Outback Bowl against Michigan. And he had this unbelievable tackle, knocks the running back's helmet off, and then we kept waiting for him to be that kind of dominating player in the NFL. A good career, not a great career, and not a dominating player. But we kept waiting for this with Odell Beckham. Like, every catch, oh, he used two hands there. He didn't have that, wow, he's going to make another one-handed grab. And we kept waiting for that because that moment, that signature moment, we thought he was going to be able to produce that week in and week out. And he's a very good wide receiver, but he'll never be able to live up to that catch. Yeah, Paulie.
Beckham's first 3 years, he had 91 catches, 96 catches, 101 catches, and he averaged 1,400 yards receiving. He averaged 12 touchdown catches a year. He was roaring to the Hall of Fame his first 3 seasons in pros. Then injuries and other stuff, and it's been, he's good. He's got good numbers.
But we keep waiting for something spectacular. It's almost like Vince Carter would have these dunks, but you waited for him to be consistent with everything else in his game. Or you waited for one of those dunks where you went, oh, wow. But then one-handed catches became cool. High school, college, certainly in the NFL. And I don't know if Odell Beckham will ever be able to have a signature moment that rivals that. The same with Jadeveon Clowney. It was an unbelievable hit against Michigan. But you can't pick out a signature moment with Jadeveon Clowney since then. Yes, Eden.
Which is kind of an unfair expectation.
Yes.
I don't really know why we would expect, a catch like that every game or something. You know what I mean? Like those highlights are just, Odell, but it's once in a lifetime.
Yeah, but you still expect him to be great week in and week out. And he's not, or hasn't been. Jadeveon Clowney, we expected him to be dominating, great week in and week out, and he hasn't been. Yes, he
sort of like Antonio Brown when he was really hitting it. You knew he was the best player out there every week, and that teams were deliberately trying to shut him down, and they just couldn't.
Yes,
he performed every single week.
Yes, Antonio Brown was a better receiver than Odell Beckham Jr. because week in and week out, you knew that you had to stop him, and teams weren't able to do that. Yeah, McLovin.
But the thing is, Odell puts on that pregame show where he does all the one-handed catches. He's like a circus performer.
And that's nice.
He's done it his whole career, and that's why that expectation is he's going to do it in the game. It's incredible to see.
Yes, but Steph Curry has an unbelievable pregame workout, and then he does it in the game.
Odell, for the first 3 years, did do it in the game. He did set up that expectation, and then he always tries for the one-handed catch.
But that was 3 years ago if he did it the first 3 years of his career. And that's it. Yeah, Paulie.
Randy Moss kind of had a similar thing at a much higher level. Randy Moss's first 6 years, he's first ballot by far. I mean, he might be the first 6 years of Randy Moss's. It's 111 catches, 17 touchdowns. It's crazy. Then he cooled off in Minnesota. They shipped him out. So at age 27, 28, 29, which should be peak years, Randy Moss cooled off a lot. And then he went to New England and was back. So I don't know if Odell could do something like that.
The Steelers have a 4-game lead over Baltimore going into Thanksgiving week. And the Steelers are averaging just 3.9 yards per rush, but they do have Chase Claypool. He has been unbelievable. He catches touchdowns. And who would have thought that they would be up, 4 games right now on the Ravens in the one-loss column? And McLovin said, well, who's your coach of the year? And I said, well, Tomlin is. He has to be. They're 10-0. Sean Payton, Brian Flores, Frank Reich, Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland? Yeah, McLovin.
You got to give your coach of the year to the new guy, though. Tomlin has been around forever, has a Super Bowl ring. So does Sean Payton. You know, like.
Yeah, but wait, we had Mike Tomlin maybe out the door that he had run his course in Pittsburgh. That wasn't long ago when you had that storyline.
That's true.
John Gruden, I'd put him on this list. Coach of the year candidate.
I think Brian Flores, because they have nobody there, has to be really in the mix with Miami.
Yeah, but we saw this the second half of last year. This is a team that was good, competitive.
But no one can name a single player on defense or they're so young.
But I'd have to do it for Mike Tomlin, just from the standpoint of a lot of times great coaches don't get recognized. Which is strange. They're great coaches, but you don't go, well, we're going to give Chuck Knoll the coach of the year. Phil Jackson, coach of the year. Those guys, I don't know if they won it. I don't think Chuck Knoll was ever coach of the year with the Steelers. And I don't know if Phil, maybe was he one-time coach of the year? That seems, crazy, but I think that happened. And here's Mike Tomlin, who has been successful. Extremely successful. But it wasn't that long ago where it felt like his stay in Pittsburgh, the days were numbered there. So I would have Tomlin because they're 10-0. I don't think anybody had them being 10-0. I don't think anybody had them winning the division. And right now they're up by 4 games. Yeah, Paul.
It really should be the overachiever at Coach of
It Award. Usually is.
2 years ago, Matt Nagy won it with the Bears. They went 12-4. No one saw it coming. happens every couple of years. You know, Bruce Arians with the Arizona Cardinals in 2014, 11-5.
No, I get it that we like that. Wow, I didn't see that story. Instead of the story that's right in front of you. Like, can Andy Reid win Coach of the Year? No, he can't. Why? Well, you got Patrick Mahomes. You got all those weapons. You know, when you're supposed to win, it's really difficult to do that. Chuck Knoll won it in 1989. Wow, after all of those Super Bowl teams. The team wasn't that talented, lost its first two regular season games, 51-0 and 41-10. They made it to the second round of the playoffs. Therefore, Chuck Knoll did more with less, and he got Coach of the Year. Yes, McLevin.
It's just like the NBA. All these coaches of the years got fired within 3 years.
Yeah.
Like Nagy will probably get fired.
Well, didn't George Karl win Coach of the Year and then he got fired?
Yeah. I think Budenholzer did in Atlanta and got fired like a year later. Like,
well, that's when they won like 61 games and then they bowed out in the opening round.
Ron Rivera, Bruce Arians. Ron Rivera won it twice. Jason Garrett won it in 2016. Jason Garrett.
Yeah, but that's when they went 13-3, wasn't it?
Dez Bryant year, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Dez had a catch. For the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hopefully you can get a few more. They certainly need it from their wide receivers. Yes, Bowie.
I've still never really understood why Dez Bryant's been out of football the past few years.
Yeah. Well, he blew out his Achilles or knee in New Orleans.
I know, but not on a practice squad, rehabbing with a team. It always felt like, I don't know, he's a bit toxic, but he seems like a good guy. Solid receiver.
Yeah, I don't know. He stayed in the news, but I think that he went to New Orleans, and then was it his knee or Achilles that he blew out?
I think or his ACL?
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
But he's a guy, I agree with Paulie, like, he was always controversial early, and now he's on Twitter being a really great guy. seems like a good dude.
Tom Landry won Coach of the Year one time. He was named NFL Coach of the Year in 1966. And then NFC coach, that's not the same, 1975. But, you know, some of the great, how many times Phil Jackson win Coach of the Year? Did he win it once, maybe? But then, hey, you got Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. Hey, you got Shaq and you got Kobe. Anybody can coach those teams. Therefore, that's probably why he didn't get votes. And Doc Rivers won it 1 year. I think they went 41-41 in Orlando. Yeah, Paul.
Phil Jackson, who has 11 rings, won NBA Coach of the Year once in 1996. Yep. Made him earn it. He was CBA Coach of the Year as well. I forgot that.
The Albany Patroons?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I understand that one. I don't understand how he could possibly win it with the Bulls. Brad in North Carolina. Hi, Brad. What's on your mind today?
Hey, DP. Just best and worst of the weekend. Best of the weekend was P.J. Walker stepping in for Teddy Bridgewater in a more than serviceable start. Thought he acquitted himself quite nicely in the 20-0 shutout victory. My worst of the weekend is just the sympathy I have for Jeff in Detroit. You were so right last week, Dan. It's time for Jeff. What up, Doe? He needs to relocate. Have a good week, boys.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Yeah, Jeff calls in, and he's loyal, and we love him. You know, he's an Uber driver, former police officer in Detroit, and I can't help him. I feel like I need to help him. Like, he's crying out for help, but I can't help him other than to say, Jeff, it's time to move. Just keep driving. Get in your Uber car and keep driving, young man. Head west. South, east, north to the CFL. But that's what fandom is all about. That's when you grow up on something, and it's a toxic relationship, but you stay in it, and you go, I can't quit him. Because there's always that moment where maybe Detroit gets it right one of these days. All right, maybe not. More phone calls coming up back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I'll give you a dollar if you can tell me the Steeler quarterback when Chuck Knoll won Coach of the Year. Yes, Paulie.
Oh, Cliff Stout?
Cliff Stout, no.
Oh.
But good.
Good name.
That's running backs were Tim Worley and Merrill Hodge. McLevin?
Neil O'Donnell?
No. Ooh, man. You've taken two candidates out of this. There's one that you're going to go, oh. Todd?
Terry Hanratty.
No. Bubby Brister.
Ooh.
Bubby Brister was your quarterback when Chuck Knoll finally won Coach of the Year. Dan Orlovsky, who I have great respect for on the Propheater show on ESPN Get Up. There's no one on the Ravens offense right now that a defensive coordinator sits there and goes, I'm scared of him. That includes Lamar Jackson. Last call for phone call. Woo! The actor Josh Duhamel will join us. And Florida quarterback Kyle Trask, it's his Heisman to lose right now. It might come down to the game against Alabama, but it feels like this is Kyle Trask Heisman. And that would be great if you got that showdown with Alabama for the SEC title. Yes, Paulie?
That said, Mac Jones can snag it back in four quarters a month from now.
He could. He could.
Yeah, it's almost like a play-in game.
But I don't know about Justin Fields. I think that he removed himself. Trevor Lawrence missing another game. They might make that game up with Florida State, but you got to have as many games as possible. Ryan in Honolulu is back. Hey, Ryan.
Aloha, Dan, and a big aloha to Chat Row. I got two best and worst for you. My Browns, 7-3, second in the division. Loving it, but we've beaten the Bengals twice, and we've beat up on the NFC East.
Yep.
We lost to the Steelers and Ravens and Raiders, so I really don't know where we stand still. And my other best and worst is Ross Tucker did the Army game commentating, and he forgot to pack a belt, so he had to wear a heart rate monitor as a belt on national TV.
All right. Well, thank you, Ryan.
That's confirmed. Ross Tucker, no belt. Grabbed a monitor and put it around his waist like a cable.
Jonathan in Pennsylvania is back. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
Hey, I got two best and a worst. Let me start with the two best. Ohio State winning again against Illinois or Indiana. Illinois.
Indiana.
Indiana, there you go. as you said, they were struggling all over the game. Defense and offense, they were struggling. But, hey, they came out with a win. For my Cowboys, they have won, surprisingly. I thought they were going to lose. But, hey, we are in a playoff race. I'm excited. No, I am not. to start with, and then the worst, FC Barcelona losing to Madrid 1-0. And then I have a question for Foley and Seton. Who do you guys consider as the best striker, for Ronaldo or Messi? Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you. Yep. Quickly, guys, the best striker between those two. Seton?
Ronaldo all day.
Okay. Paulie?
Thierry Henry. I'm going off the board.
All right. Jesse in Los Angeles is back. Hey, Jess, best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, DP. Thanks for squeezing me in. Best and worst. And a comment. Best, I was in Sedona, Arizona, off the grid, hiking and climbing for 5 days. So I pretty much missed all sports, and it was a nice break. But worst, I came back last night, and the first sports I saw for the weekend was at the airport in Phoenix. Caught the Packers meltdown against that game versus the Colts. And I wanted to send my condolences to Clay Thompson. I know I'm late. It happened last week. But as I said, I didn't get any news. And I remember him going off for 37.25 versus my Sacramento Kings. And I'm not sure if God exists, but if there's proof of his existence, I think you can look at Clay's jumper. So best of luck in the speedy recovery.
All right. Well, thank you, Jesse. Mike in Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dan.
Hey.
Not too bad. I wanted to excuse the voice. I'm just a quick story. I'm in a place. I broke my heels a few months ago, so I'm in a place where we came down with the COVID. So yeah, I'm just getting over. So stay safe, everybody. My best, and I'm shocked nobody got to it, was the post locker room with the coach from Indiana. Yeah, I'm surprised he still has vocal cords.
Yeah, Tom Allen. Yeah, he barely does.
So. Yeah. I was like, quick story the other night. So they came in to do my vitals here, to check my vitals, and they happened to be showing that on TV when one of the A's was like, oh, my God, that scares me. He looks scary. And I laughed. I said, I'd play for the guy. And she just said, oh, my God, that's so scary. He looks scary. And I was like, no, okay. So, and then my worst is Penn State. 0-5. Are you kidding me? 0-5.
And then you got Michigan coming up this weekend. But thank you, Mike, and hopefully on your road to recovery. Yes, Paulie.
You notice that every caller today is prefacing their call with something they're doing around the house. Like, Dan, I'm throwing up some drywall in the baby room, and Purdue got screwed with that pass interference call.
We're just a companion there. We're there for you. You know, COVID was great for this show, just that, you know, people were able to stay in and stay at home, and then we could be a companion for them.
Dan, my timing belt needs replacing, and Penix Jr. is a draft prospect. What?
Yeah. You know, I'm struggling with this green bean casserole recipe, but hey, Lamar Jackson's in trouble. But that's okay. And you know, have you been around people when they give you the details of their surgery? Being in a family where the other side of the family is Italian, they always, in graphic detail, will tell you surgeries. And usually at the dinner table. Nothing like a good pasta and with red sauce, gravy, and they want to tell you about gallbladder surgery.
During the meal.
Yeah. Yep.
Had a pint of fluid taken out of my lower back.
Yeah.
Earlier
in the week. It looks like, you know, these old fashions that we're drinking.
I'll be damned, I can't still see the incision, DP. What?
Here, let me pull down my pants and show you this sports hernia. No. But that's what you'll get. And if you said right before you're going to start dinner, you're talking about anything but. We sit down, and it's as if you sit down, and somebody's got a gory detail to tell you about with dinner. Done with dinner, get up, nobody mentions anything about that. Amazing. It's quite a trait that they have. Let's go around the room. Final results of the poll question first, McClellan.
Which team is really in trouble? The Baltimore Ravens, followed closely by the Green Bay Packers.
All right, let's go around the room. What we learned on this award-nominated program. Seton, I'll start with you.
That Odell Beckham Jr. catch may have been a bad thing for his career.
Well, certainly raised expectations, and that was 6 years ago tonight that happened against the Dallas Cowboys. Todd, what did you learn today?
It's starting to look like the Ravens could be bullied a little bit. They're not the same team lately.
All right, McLovin?
Chris Sims says that Ben Roethlisberger is serially underrated and then leaves him off his top 10 list.
He underrated somebody who he says is underrated. Paulie, what did you learn today?
Your Bengals need some offensive line.
Yeah, just a couple. What did I learn today, Todd?
It blows Chris Mannix's mind that the Hornets are going to pay 30-year-old Gordon Hayward $120 million over the next 4 years. What?
What we learned brought to you by Built Bar, simply the best tasting protein bar. We love all 18 amazing flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, pumpkin chocolate chip cookie. Believe me when you taste it. Go to BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP for 20% off. Thanks for joining us. The Heisman candidate for the Florida Gators, Kyle Trask, and the actor Josh Duhamel joining us on the program. Have a safe Monday. Talk to you tomorrow. Dan Patrick Show.